Today on More to Life, cultivating confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a problem? We'll give you the confidence boost and the solutions you need. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, cultivating confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a problem? We're going to give you the confidence boost and solutions you need. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
You know, do you have enough confidence? Probably not every minute of every day. And guess what? That is normal. And it is okay to not have confidence every second of every day. And we're going to talk about what it means to have real Christian confidence during the course of the show. But I know that, you know, there's so much out there that's there to undermine our confidence all the time. You know, there's the outer things, the stuff we see it on social media that makes us feel like we can never measure up. I mean, I remember when I was first starting out as a homeschooled mom, and this was before social media was huge, but I did subscribe to a particular homeschooling resource. And every time this resource crossed my eyes, it made me feel less than. You know, I was in sync with my kids. I was picking out good resources. Greg and I were making decisions together. And then suddenly, there it was, this mom who was getting up at 4 a.m. and home making matching outfits for her children, and then going for a 5-mile walk all before her kids got up. And then, I kid you not, one day this woman found a dead rabbit on the side of the road, brought it home, called her vet to make sure it was safe, and then did a dissection with her kids that day on that rabbit as her science experiment. And I went, Greg, I'm never going to measure up my whole life.
That was a day.
It was a day. And you remember,
I do remember. Of course I do.
There are so many things that can undermine our confidence.
No, and then there are those kinds of situations. And there's just, you know, Monday. You know, I think a lot of people have Sunday scaries. And you wake up on the Monday and you have, you
know. It becomes the Monday moaning.
Yeah, exactly. And then you think about that meeting, you know, or that conversation you have to have, or that person you need to deal with. And I feel that way all the time. And you know, somehow the weeks go by and you get the things done.
Maybe. But it ends up being okay.
Yeah, and you know, and the nerves that kind of plague you, though, while you're dealing with that are frustrating.
But I think the most difficult of the undermining of our confidence is two things. One, the people in our lives. You know, do you have that person, or did that person exist in your life and that person's voice is still in your brain? That person who ran you down, that person who is there now and is questioning everything you try to do, making you feel like you're not going to measure up. If these people are in your life or were in your life, they can really undermine our confidence and make us freeze and make us less pliable to the Holy Spirit. And I said there are two big ones. And the biggest one, of course, is how Satan uses all of this stuff against us. Because when we're really leaning into our relationship with God, when we feel like we're hearing God's guidance in our lives, we can have that sense of inner peace and confidence. But when Satan sees that we have that inner peace and confidence, sometimes he'll bring those defeatist people into our lives, those images in front of our eyes, to make us less effective for God.
So, you know, give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you struggling to get the confidence you need to take a new step, make a change, or address a problem in your life or relationships? Are you unsure of how to bring up a concern? Or maybe you're worried that what you have to say won't be received well. Maybe your efforts to address a particular problem just have not worked out the way you hoped, and you're feeling stuck about what to do next. Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you. Yeah, you, right there. Find the grace-filled ways to have the confidence you need to overcome the obstacles in your path. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, I'm so glad you did that. Yeah, you, because when our confidence is lacking, we're often going to sit there and say, well, I'll watch how it worked out for this other person, and I'll try to apply that plan to my life. So we scroll to try to find those other people, or we're listening right now and we're trying to get that information that might apply to somebody else's life. That's also, you know, messages that say, well, you don't really deserve to find the answer that's particular for your life. God wouldn't really want that for you. Yes, he does. And he gave you this resource. So if you're feeling like you don't have the confidence you need, or you have that loved one, your child, your spouse, somebody in your life who's just lacking that confidence and you see that it's harming them, we're here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that and how could it possibly help me gain more confidence, you've come to the right place. You know, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on discovering God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that confidence isn't the feeling that we can do anything we put our minds to, but rather that we can accomplish all things through Christ, our strength. Christians are often afraid of cultivating confidence. We're afraid it's too prideful. We get caught up in the world's idea that confidence means puffing ourselves up and being and believing that, you know, nothing can stand in our way because we're so awesome. But we know that isn't true. For the Christian, confidence comes from knowing that God is working with us and in us and through us in every situation. The first step to cultivating confidence is developing what the theology of the body calls receptivity. That's the ability to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do in every moment so that we can rely on God's power instead of our own in any situation.
You know, we can't achieve the confidence that comes with receptivity, especially when we encounter a problem, just by trying to power through our own. We need to bring the situation to God, praying something like, you know, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Please teach me. And then next, I need to ask for the grace to respond to the problem in a way that will help me glorify God, work for the good of everybody involved, and help me be my best self. And that really needs to be my focus. And finally, I need to apply myself to the issue, trusting that God's going to give me what I need to overcome whatever is getting in my way if I keep bringing that situation to him every day and proceeding step by step until I do overcome the challenge. You know, for the Christian, cultivating confidence isn't about being prideful, and it's also not necessarily about knowing what I'm doing. It's about cultivating that receptivity that enables me to have trust and confidence in Christ's power to show up for me in every moment. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about cultivating confidence. Let's talk it out. We'll bring our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those situations that are in front of us that we're struggling to have the confidence we need to respond effectively to. Those challenges in our life, in our family life, in our relationships, our work, and all the areas where we feel like the situation is exceeding our resources. But Lord, nothing is bigger than you, and we can accomplish all things with you as our strength. And so we bring those situations to you right now, and Lord, we say, we don't know what we're doing. We ask you to teach us and to help us to be receptive step by step so that you can lead us and guide us through those situations toward the solutions that you can see through your eyes. Help us not to be confident in our own resources, but certainly in your presence and your ability to see us through. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, cultivating confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a problem? Not sure how to address a situation or what to do next? Let's give you the confidence and the solutions that you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joshua, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Joshua. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, sir. Hey, so just before I start, well, you know, I've tried to connect with Mark, one of your counselors, but I think he gave me like one of those temporary passwords, and I didn't do it in time. So just so you know, I am seeking this, like, some counseling. Anyway, let me tell you what I did.
You know what? Just to cover that, Joshua, let's make sure you send us an email so that, you know, we can connect you with him
and make sure that all works out. Yeah, just go ahead and shoot
that's
me an email.
That's a good idea.
Give our screener your email. We'll make sure that gets in here. So what can we do for you?
Okay, so what I wanted to ask you is that, you know, like every time something happens in our house, it usually has something to do with our children and causes kind of an argument that happened between me and my wife. Well, here, like yesterday, our son Hezekiah has been sick for about 6 days, and we don't know what it is. It could be we were thinking COVID, but you know he's not getting better, and so my wife was going to take him to the hospital today, I think. But you know our son Tiberius is stepping his left ear. He's difficult. So if something happens between that involves me and my son, my wife gets real upset, obviously, and then she'll kind of like tell me that I need help. And every time she does, like I know I need to seek counseling for things that happen, but every time she does, it kind of destroys my confidence. And it just, you know, makes me feel like that. I'm not okay the way I am. Like I have to have help in order to be, you know, more than I am now. It's just like every time like something happens, it's always, well, you need this and you need that. You know, it's never an assessment of, you know, like ourselves together. And I'm trying to figure out this, be better to lead in a way that I feel like I'm doing the right thing, because I just feel like I'm not all the time.
Okay, Joshua. Well, so let me jump in just because we only have a certain amount of time before we have to go to break, and I want to make sure I'm giving you something here. I mean, I completely understand what you're talking about. And, you know, and as a dad, we often feel like we're being put on the spot to handle situations that we don't know how to handle.
Right?
Because being a parent in general, being a dad in particular, is we're learning on the job.
And often we really do, as wives and mothers, inadvertently make our husbands feel that way, because since we are probably the ones that our children turn to more frequently, especially if the mother happens to be in the home more than the dad, and it seems that way from you because you're in the car and she's the one probably taking your son to the hospital today, we feel like we are the experts in our kids, because we are, because we spend so much time. And then when dad doesn't connect right, or there's a big kerfuffle between dad and the kids, we have a tendency in our exhaustion to say, you need to do this differently, or you need to do that. And we can often become very at odds with each other.
So, I think that at the root of what you're describing is kind of this lack of confidence, if I'm understanding you correctly, is the feeling that everything is kind of a test. you know, where your wife is either putting you in the position where she's saying, now you need to fix something or do something about this, or you're feeling like, I'm failing because I'm not enough. And so then you go to a place where you feel overwhelmed and you feel lost. You're told by a screener that you kind of break down into tears. You start to even do that on the call. And that's an honest feeling.
Okay.
Don't feel ashamed about it, all right? But what I want you to do, and I'm glad that you're reaching out for some counseling, and I'll just address that in a second, your question about that. What I want you to do is I want you to realize that this isn't up to you, okay? So being the head of your household doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It means that you're the person who facilitates the process by which you guys put God in charge of your family and you work together to find answers. So even if your wife comes to you and says, Joshua, you need to figure this out, you know, or you need to change this, or you need to do that, the first thing you need to do is say, honey, neither of us knows what to do about this. I don't know any more than you do, but I know that God can help us if we bring it to him first. So let's pray about this now. And then you just jump right in. Lord, please bless this. Help us to know what to do about this situation. We both feel so frustrated and overwhelmed. Help us to take care of each other while we figure this out. And lead us step by step through this. Okay? Amen. And then you say, okay, honey, let's talk about this. What do you think? What do we think we need to do here? And you start mapping out a plan together. So it's not a test that you're failing. It's not something that she has to figure out by herself. But the first step you do is you take that breath and you open up your hearts to that receptivity we were talking about in our reflection. And you say, okay, Lord, we don't know what we're doing, but we need your help, and we need your help to take care of each other while we figure it out. And then you have a conversation where you start to make a plan together about it, instead of you feeling like you failed and then making it all about you and your feelings, right? That's what's upsetting your wife. Because if you feel like you failed the test, then she can't come to you and know that you're going to facilitate the process by which you guys figure out the answers prayerfully. She then has to take care of you too. And that's not what you want. That's not what she wants, right? So I want you to focus on that process. I actually talk about this in my book, Beatitudes, where the first beatitude is blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit, which recognizes that we don't know anything. We don't know what we're doing, and that's okay. Because as long as we're going to God every day and saying, teach me to be the father that my children need me to be. Teach me to be the husband that my wife needs me to be. Teach me to be the man that you want me to be. And we start listening. God will give us the grace to figure it out. And I walk through that step by step in the Beatitudes. You might also get some help on Catholic Home, our Catholic Home app, because Lisa and I are on there every day, along with our whole team of pastoral counselors, giving parenting coaching and lots of resources to help you build a more loving, connected, caring Catholic household on mission. So you can download the app, Catholic HOM, as well as reaching out. In terms of the counseling issue, I know what you're talking about. It's a technical issue with the password for your permission to treat. So I'm going to alert Dr. Mark to get in touch with you to work that out. Thank you, Joshua, for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out here. Again, I'm going to ask you to follow up, though, with Beatitudes and also downloading the Catholic HOM app to get daily support and the coaching that you need to feel like you can be that confident Catholic dad. And your wife would be on there too. One subscription covers the whole family. So check it out, Josh. Thank you so much for the call. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Cultivating Confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a problem? Not sure what the next step might be? Or just struggling to get the courage to face it? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights on what it means to cultivate confidence. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said. Put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about cultivating confidence. Confidence, that's the word. I can say it. Cultivating confidence. See, I have the confidence to move ahead. And we are joined right now by... Thank you very much. I feel affirmed. We're joined right now by Jacob Flores Popchak, who's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. Hey, Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me. I mean, thank you.
Yeah, we're all doing great here. So, you know, you wanted to share a little bit about what you share with clients who are struggling with confidence.
Well, there's a lot to be done there, but one analogy that I like to start off with, it's a little silly, but I find meaning in it personally. You know, human beings, I often argue, were designed by God with our confidence given to us by Him within us. It's part of us, right? That which makes me safe, that which makes me capable, is given to me by God, and it's a fundamental part of me. And in that way, I illustrate, we're a little bit like turtles, you know, who have their safety attached to them with their shell. They carry it with them everywhere they go. It's a part of them. It's a part of their body. And yet, when we start to lose our sacred sense of confidence, when we start to fall prey to anxiety or to desolations, we can start to act like we're not turtles, but like we're instead hermit crabs. And hermit crabs, if you're familiar, will sort of scuttle around the beach looking for a shell to place on them. They try to find their safety, in other words, outside of themselves. And anyone who's ever kept a hermit crab as a pet knows that it doesn't take a lot of time before a hermit crab outgrows its shell and needs to run off to find another, larger, stronger one. This is very much like how those of us who capitulate to our own anxieties and who fall prey to the belief that we need to look outside of ourselves and elsewhere to other people or to certain rituals or to certain comfort mechanisms. It's very much like how we experience the constant need to find bigger and bigger and stronger ways to make ourselves feel safe, right? Because constantly, you know, the thing that used to work to make me calm down and feel a little bit better no longer does the trick, and I've got to find, you know, bigger and heavier duty things. And so I often ask clients to say, okay, if for just a second you could imagine that you're not a hermit crab, that your safety does not rest outside of yourself, but that rather your capacity to feel safe and to feel confident and to feel strong and capable rests inside of you and was gifted to you by God, how would that change how you're reacting to this situation and to this moment?
That's a powerful image.
So powerful.
Because it really centers the power, we can access God's grace within us, as opposed to looking outside of us for everything else that's going to save us besides God's grace and the gifts he's given us.
It's such a powerful image to give us of that, you know, being those hermit crabs, because when we do find that shell, it is inevitably going to be something we outgrow when we have to change up. And that actually undermines our confidence even more, because as humans, then we don't say, oh, look how much I've grown, I need a new shell. We say, oh, I did this wrong, I picked the wrong thing, and why? What's wrong with me? And that really, really becomes destructive.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's assuming that we even choose a healthy shell, right? And, you know, if you see hermit crabs on the beach, oftentimes they'll pick up old plastic bottles and refuse, right? And this is just the same way that we often, in an attempt to make ourselves feel safe, you know, pick up things like alcohol to make me feel safe, or a toxic relationship with someone who's a bully, because even though they treat me poorly, they kind of make me feel safe to other people. You know, it can be very, very toxic. So, again, when we ask her, just some practical examples of what this might look like. You know, I'll often use, you know, this example with people who struggle with social anxiety, for instance. And you'll feel that compulsion to reach out to, you know, that friend and double check with them. Did I do an okay job? Or to that ex, even. Like, maybe we should get back together, right? But you pause and you say to yourself, hey, what if my safety didn't rest in that person? What if my safety rested within me? What would that free me up to do right now? Or those of us who struggle with, you know, compulsions regarding health or safety or even morality, scrupulosity, right? Hey, what if my safety didn't rest in checking the stove 3 times or in saying that extra Hail Mary at the end of my decade? What if God replaced that safety in me? What would that change?
Great insights. And if folks would like to learn more about cultivating confidence, I encourage you to check out Jacob's work at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Let us help you get the confidence boost and the solutions you need to face whatever you are encountering. Back.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are given many gifts. Everyone is different. And yet when we embrace them, when we accept our gifts and use them as God wants them to be used, His will, not ours, those crosses turn into gifts from which we can learn, grow, and who knows, maybe have an entirely different life than what we planned. Such as the case with me. I never in a million years expected to be in Catholic radio. Never even knew it existed. So the next time you're questioning or struggling, say, okay, God, what can I do with this? What am I supposed to do? Don't bury it. Don't put God in a box and see what He does with that gift, which sometimes comes in the shape of a cross.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
There is genuine consolation from the Catholic Catechism regarding the death of a loved one. The Christian who dies in Christ Jesus, we are told, is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death marks the end of a Christian's sacramental life, but the fulfillment of his new birth, which began at baptism, now has a definitive conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian funeral does not give the deceased a sacrament or sacramentals because he or she has passed beyond the sacramental economy. The different funeral rites express the paschal character of Christian death. The greatest consolation to the Christian is the knowledge that even in death, we are separated only temporarily, that one day, if we have lived well, we will all be together again in Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do
will separate them from God's love, or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Cultivating Confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a particular problem? We're going to help give you the confidence boost and the solutions that you need. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825 and tell us, you know, are you struggling to take a new step, make a change, or address a problem in your life or relationships? Maybe you're not sure how to keep up your, bring up a concern, or you're worried that you're going to say something that won't be received well. Maybe your efforts to address a particular problem haven't worked out the way you hoped, and you're feeling stuck about what to do next. Well, let us help you find ways to have that confidence you're looking for and the grace-filled solutions you need at 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, I want to address a question that Anne called in with from Missouri. She's listening on Covenant Network, but she couldn't stay on. And she said she'd like to get some ideas of ways to boost her confidence with other women. She's had some, and this is in quotes here, very bad female friends. And I really appreciate your question so much. And I think that this is something that really can undermine our confidence, no matter what the situation socially is. When we find that we have, quote unquote, chosen wrongly, right? When somebody is not very faithful to us in some way, they talk behind our backs, they're just not loyal friends in some way, we often take it as a personal affront to us. It undermines our confidence to be able to trust other people in the future. And it's something that kind of weighs on us.
Yeah, so this comes down to knowing what a trustworthy person looks like, right? It comes down to having some sense of how do I know if I can trust this person or not. And a lot of times we, feel like, well, this person seems nice, and so we kind of give them everything. Open up our hearts, and we just sort of dump everything out there, trusting that they'll be able to handle it because they seemed nice. And then we find out that we've shared too much, we've given them too much power in our lives, or too much influence in our lives, and then we end up getting hurt. So what's the criteria that we need to kind of keep in mind to know whether a person is worthy of our trust or not?
And this criteria is really important, because if not, what we end up doing is either repeating that same pattern where we're keeping our hearts a little bit too pliable, a little bit too open to other people without really having developed a long-term relationship with them. Or we do the opposite, which is we stop trusting anyone, we close everyone out of our lives, and we live a very isolated, superficial, relational life.
So there are 4 things that we want to look at. And I want to also, I'll just say this up front, there's a second thing I want to add here that talks about how this isn't universal, all right? But I'll get back to that in a minute. So the 4 things we want to look at to know whether somebody's trustworthy or not is, do they have the ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency? Those 4 qualities right there. Ability, integrity, benevolence, consistency. So let's take that apart. Do they do what they say they're going to do? Right? Do they follow through on their promises? Number 1.
So you make that date to get together for lunch on Saturday, or you make that promise that you're going to carpool each other's kids, or whatever those things are that you have set up to do with them in some way. Do they consistently follow through? Now, anybody can miss, once or twice because something else in life happens. But if they're not coming back with a, hey, this is the why and the how and this is what we're going to do differently, then you're saying, oh, well, now wait a minute. I really thought that they were trustworthy, but the evidence is showing me something other than that.
So that's ability. The second thing is integrity. Now, somebody with integrity tends to have an internal moral compass, right, that they constantly check themselves against so that they don't give offense in the first place. And if they do give offense, because we all have blind spots, they quickly either self-correct, because, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, right, I see what I did, or they're easily corrected when you point it out. You go and you say, hey, Greg, you kind of hurt my feelings when you did that. And he's like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea, Anne. Let me explain what I was trying to do, or I just apologize, right? So I'm hearing that, and I'm correcting it. Now, somebody without integrity, they don't have that internal moral compass, so they try to get away with whatever they can. So they don't care if they give offense in the first place, and if you try to call them out on it, then they try to wiggle out of it. Oh, well, you just don't have a sense of humor, or you just didn't understand, or oh, you just this. It's always about you and me not apologizing or not even offering an explanation. It's me offering an excuse and often blaming you for how you shouldn't have been offended in the first place, right? You didn't have a right to expect that from me. So that's how integrity plays in. Third quality is benevolence. This is a person who works for your good even when it makes them uncomfortable a little bit. I don't mean they do something immoral or, you know, degrading or whatever, but I mean that they're willing to step outside their comfort zone to look out for you, to take care of you, to do little things to make your life a little easier or more pleasant. They look for ways to be a friend to you, as opposed to somebody who's not trustworthy, who, you know, if you happen to benefit from something that benefits them, that's fine, but they're not going to go out of their way to take
right.
care of you, right? And then the last quality is consistency. Everybody can do those other three things. Everybody can demonstrate ability, integrity, and benevolence sometimes. Can you count on this person to do it most times? Because that's the most important thing. Now, so you're looking at your friendships and you're saying, you know, is this I'm going to hold back until this person demonstrates that they have the ability to do what they say they're going to do. They have the integrity to not give offense in the first place or be easily corrected if they are. That they have the benevolence where they look out for me, and even if it makes them a little, you know, uncomfortable, causes them to stretch outside their comfort zone a little bit, they're willing to be there for me, and they're willing to do that consistently. Now, some people, you know, are trustworthy in some areas but not other areas. You know, you can maybe count on that person to show up for that evening out, and you can count on them to consistently, you know, have a nice time with you. But if you ask them to help you with something, there's always some reason that they can't follow through. Well, then you can trust that person in that area. You can say, well, look, you know, I'm just looking for something to do on Friday evening, and that's a person that's kind of fun to hang out with. I can go have a nice time with so-and-so. But I'm not going to trust her with my life,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not going to ask her to help me with things.
Not going to confide a whole lot in this person.
Right, because they don't have the ability, integrity or benevolence to give them that trust in those areas, right? So you look and you say, you know, does this person have these qualities at all? And secondly, where do they have those qualities? I'm going to trust them in those areas, but not in these other areas. And that's how you know whether you can make friends with somebody or not, whether they're going to be a good friend to you, and to the degree which they can be a good friend to you. You look at those four qualities and where they evidence those qualities in their life.
Now, the other thing I just want to add on top of this is, if you have that person where you're like, oh, well, you know, they don't really have all these qualities consistently, but I do sort of like hanging out with them, like you were saying, Greg, on a Friday evening, you know, to go out and do something, but you know that they can't do it consistently. Have a backup plan, because often when somebody is not able to do these four things consistently, or the three things consistently, we end up feeling even more hurt, because then our plans are scuttled, we're all alone. Have a backup plan. If I plan to go out with this person on Friday night and they cancel on me at the last minute, or they don't even bother to show, what am I going to do to have a nice evening if that happens?
I mean, we have a friend like this in our life, right? Who's, you know, they're a nice enough person, but they've got a lot of their own things going on, and then we really just can't count on them. But they're nice to be with. So anytime we plan something with them, we also invite somebody else, so that if that person kind of, you know, flakes out on us, we can still go out with our friends.
If we don't have somebody else to do that with, we say, well, what can we do that evening? That's our backup. And that could be just, you know, doing something really fun at home, or having another plan that'll work just with the, you know, the two of us. But have that backup plan, so that you're not sitting there getting lost in the feeling of being hurt and rejected.
All right, Anne, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. But I hope that these ideas will at least give you some ways forward. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. I should say, by the way, to Anne and anybody else who's listening and maybe identifies with some of the things we were saying there, you know, sometimes it can be hard to redevelop that confidence in yourself. So if you're looking for some resources there, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, or you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to really apply those criteria to all the relationships in your life and feel more confident in your own ability to choose good people. Anyway, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Cultivating Confidence. Are you struggling to get the confidence you need to take a new step, make a change, or address a problem in your life or relationships? You know, maybe you're not sure how to bring up a concern, or you're worried that what you have to say won't be received well. Or maybe your efforts to address a particular problem just have not worked out the way you hoped, and you're feeling stuck. Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to get the confidence you need to overcome the obstacles in your path. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 27, verses 1 and 3.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Though an army encamp against me, I will not be afraid. Though war be waged against me, even then I will remain confident.
And I, you know, this is a Psalm of David, and, you know, it talks, you know, it's pretty brave words here, right?
Incredibly brave.
But I want to call your attention to the first line of this verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? You know, in keeping with the theme of the show, we're remembering that confidence is not something that we generate for ourselves, or that comes from our knowledge that we can do anything on our own power. You know, David isn't saying that he's going to stand against this enemy on his own. He's not saying that even though war be waged against him, he's going to be confident because he knows that he can do it all by himself. He's saying that he trusts the Lord to guide him step by step through it. And so he's bringing his battle plan to God and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what the enemy is going to do. I don't know how to respond to this. I have no idea what I'm doing. But you do. Teach me to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that will help me be my best self, that will work for the good of everybody that depends on me, so that I can move forward knowing your plan and being confident, not in myself, but in your grace. Words to keep to heart. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about cultivating confidence. Are you struggling to overcome a particular problem in your life or relationships, and you're, you know, not sure you have the confidence to handle it, whatever it is? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Cultivating Confidence, as we talk about where that confidence that we need to address the problems in our life actually comes from, which is, of course, Christ. But how do we access that grace, and how do we hold on to it as we're going through difficult times? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Steve, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. What you said when you opened your show really hit home with me, so I figured I'd call in. You're talking about people that beat you down and take your confidence away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause anxiety. And, you know, I have a problem at work. I have this individual. He's got to have it his way. No matter what, he's got to change it to his way, even if it's more difficult. And I kind of have to bite my tongue. And I do it, and I do it with God's grace. But then when I'm off work, I can't settle down. I just get like I have to vent, but I'm venting within myself. Where I, you know, it's tough to sleep. It just causes me to be enraged. Okay. And
I understand. So Steve, there are two things that I want you to do about this. Okay. First of all, I want you when you get off work, you know, to take a minute to really start to pray through this, to bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm, you know, and then just pour it out, you know, vent out loud to Him. And I want you to do this out loud, right? Not just in your head, because it makes a difference. And I'll tell you what, even on a psychological level, when you either write out your thoughts or you speak out your thoughts, what happens is there's this part of your brain that's sort of an editor, right? And it's that editor's job to, as it hears new things, to say, is that really true or not? Okay? Because I don't want to let anything in my head that I don't think is true. But if I'm just thinking those thoughts inside, they're already in my head, so that editor doesn't get engaged.
And then they just spin and spin and spin. And I will agree, Greg, that it's particularly true when we write it out. So it's a great thing to either, you know, keep a journal in your glove compartment, or as Greg said, if you're going to just do this out loud, just, you know, let anybody who's waiting for you at home know you're going to be 15 minutes later every night, because you're just taking some time with God at the end of the workday to work through this, because you're dealing with something that seems unjust. You have a right to those feelings of anger and rage, because that's what injustice provokes in us. But it's how we deal with it with God that's going to make an effective change.
But the thing, Steve, that I want you to do in that prayer is not assume that the way you're responding is necessarily the right way to respond. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I want you to bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, look, I'm so upset about this. I'm so frustrated with what he said, how he did. Teach me how you want me to respond to him. Because you know what? Maybe God does want you to bite your tongue and let it go, because it doesn't matter that much. Or maybe God does want you to assert yourself in this situation, because the way he's doing it is wrong. And, you know, he's blocking you from using the gifts God has given you to do a good job at in the workplace, right? So don't assume that the Christian response is biting your tongue, because it isn't always. So ask God, how do you want, teach me how to respond to this. And, you know, how I always tell people to pray on this, teach me how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that will help me be my best self, and that will, you know, cause me to challenge the people around me to be their best selves too.
So you're not just going to say, okay, I'm done biting my tongue on this, so I'm going to tell the guy he's an idiot and a pain in my neck and I don't want to deal with it anymore. You're going to really talk to God about it and say, give me the right words to make effective change in this situation so this guy isn't always making everybody's lives harder and less effective.
Okay, now that's step one. Step two is I want you to get that journal out that Lisa was talking about. I want you to get a notebook, and I want you to write out the situation, and I want you to ask yourself, if I could say or do what I felt in prayer that I want to do, if I could say anything to this guy or do anything, you know, not to be mean or whatever, but like if I could, in prayer, like do what I felt like led to do in this situation, what would it be? What would I say? How would I act? What choices would I make? How would it be different than what I usually do? Write it out. All right? Then I want you to read that every day. You know, because this is something I want you to do every day, but as you're writing it out, then I want you to go back to yesterday's journal entry and the day before and just read them all. And keep track, right? Because you're mentally rehearsing how to cooperate with the grace you're being given by praying about this situation this way. You know, the problem, Steve, is I think that you're buying into the idea that a lot of Christians do, that the Christian answer to everything is just to suck it up. And, you know, bearing wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly are two spiritual works of mercy. But so is admonishing the sinner. And there are lots of scriptures that talk about, you know, if you've got a problem with somebody, you go and you bring it to them. We don't hear that enough, and we don't practice that enough. And when we do, we tend to do it just because we're mad at somebody, and we don't actually do it prayerfully or charitably. We just lose it, and then we feel bad about it, which then makes us feel like, oh, see, I should have just sucked it up. But what I'm suggesting here is to go in with that spirit of receptivity that says, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether the right answer is to just bear it patiently or admonish him. So I'm going to ask God to teach me and how to respond to this in a way that will glorify God, help me be my best self, and work for the good of everybody else involved. And then I'm going to write out what I think I could or could have said or should have said, and I'm going to pray on that. And I'm going to keep rehearsing it every day and praying about it every day to see what happens and where God leads me with this. So, Steve, if you take that approach, I think it's going to really help you not just keep it all inside, but begin to really discern how God is calling you to be a more effective godly man, and find your prophetic voice in this situation that allows you to be your best and call this other guy on to be his best too. Thanks so much for the call, Steve. You know, and as we're wrapping up today, I just want to leave you all with this idea of where our confidence comes from. You know, people who are confident in general, and Christians in particular, aren't necessarily wiser than anybody else. They don't know what to do in any given situation. What they do know is they can figure it out if they can create the space between their feelings and their reaction. If they can create that receptive space between their initial panic, their initial anxiety, their initial, you know, doubt, and what they do about it. And what they fill that space with is prayer and reflection and planning. So I go to God and I say, all right, Lord, here's how I'm feeling about this. This situation happened. I don't know what to do about it. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling whatever. Teach me how to respond to this in a way that's going to help me be my best. It's going to glorify you and help me really bring out the best in the people around me. And then you sit down and you start thinking, well, what would that actually look like? If I had the power to do that through God's grace, what would I say? What would I do? What steps would I begin to take? And then you pray about that. Okay, Lord, this is what I've come up with. If this is what you want me to do, then help me be more confident with it, and let me make the steps to start to handle it.
And again, if you're writing it down, that allows you to take time the next day and look at what you wrote down and say, all right, this is what feels like the Holy Spirit is telling me to go ahead with. Oh, wait a minute. This is the Holy Spirit over here saying, I know you got to tweak this a little bit. It allows you to remember the conversation, be in the moment of that conversation with God, because when we're so stirred up and we're talking to God, sometimes our brains can't remember everything either we or God said.
But, you know, if you remember what Jacob was saying in his segment earlier, confidence doesn't come from us finding the external thing that's going to make us feel good about what we're doing. It doesn't come from knowing what the answer is. It comes from knowing that I have the ability, through God's grace, to figure this out step by step. Even if I don't know what the big answer is, I can identify the next step and see what happens, bring that back to prayer, and figure out the next step from there. So let us help you find ways to cultivate that confidence. So hopefully the suggestions you've heard on the show will get you moving. But if you need more personal support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And remember to get out there and celebrate the life that God wants for you, because you know what? With His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.